Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be real hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're in the home 6010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico, the CSS DFS Super Bowl edition of the Fantasy Focus, where Mike Clay, Al Zeidenfeld, and I are going to break down everything you need to know from this Super Bowl slate for this showdown lineup. But first, before we get into that, a quick word about Fantasy Focus's offseason. We are at the point now where the Super Bowl is the last thing we have from 2020, guys. I mean, we are here. We are about to be done with it. We are about to look forward to free agency and the draft. We already had Matthew Stafford get traded to the Rams. There's so much to talk about, even though fantasy is so far away. But we are going to be going weekly for Fantasy Focus Football throughout the entire offseason. That's right, once a week. Either Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Mike Clay, Stefania Bell, or myself will be there to talk with you guys about the latest around the NFL on a weekly basis. So make sure you stay subscribed. We're going to have a ton of great content for you guys. We're going to have a big DFS breakdown in the middle of the offseason, bringing back both Al and Mike to talk about, if you are just getting into DFS, what is it that you need to know? We're going to do a ton of dynasty stuff with Mike. Obviously, so much free agency and draft recap. But just stay subscribed and know that we're going to be delivering you guys content throughout the offseason. So with that being said, Mike, congratulations on having extra work this offseason. I just let you know about it. We're going to be weekly in the offseason. How do you feel now to be able to add that into the workflow you already had?
Oh, that's great. I was just about to go take a break for a while. You know, I didn't get to do – actually, right now, at this very moment that we're recording this, I'm supposed to be at Disney World. But because of COVID, I was unable to take my two little girls down to Disney World. So just telling me that I get even less of a vacation with more work is just is fantastic. No, but in all seriousness, though, first of all, I want to say that, you know, I kind of joke about Disney. I feel it's almost like a reminder that we're very lucky to be healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that we could, even if we were healthy, we could go, like, so, you know, I say that somewhat in jest. I'd love to take my little girls there, but obviously things could be much worse. So thinking about everybody out there, I hope you're healthy. I hope you're happy. And hopefully all of this will be behind us soon. And also, I like to talk about football. So I'm not really going to complain about some extra podcasts this off season. Let's do it. I'm ready to go.
Love it. Love it. Al, are you good coming back and being able to do a bigger DFS dive a little bit later this off season and teach people DFS for dummies, let's say?
Sure. I mean, I'm in. Look, here's the thing. Just like Mike said, A, we're healthy. We hope that all the listeners are healthy too.
That's right.
B, I'm going to talk about football. There might as well be a red light on when I do it.
That's right. I love it. I love it. I'm totally with you. All right. So let's get into this week's podcast, is what everybody is here for. We have a recap from last week. Unfortunately, Mike Clay beat me in our showdown, 151-88 to 117-38. He takes home another championship trophy.
Back to back, son. Back to back.
11 victories for 9 for me. In fact, but Mike Clay, I got to say this. There was a 55 point differential between you and I, which when you break it down over the course of 20 games, we were real close back and forth with a lot of our lineups there. I mean, the variance was not super high. So I'm pretty proud of myself, if I got to be honest, going up against two juggernauts like you and Al. Are you kidding me?
I mean, the Chiefs won a lot of one possession games, and I don't think we're saying like the Falcons are as good as them, you know. So wow.
That is messed up. Messed
who's,
up.
Who's if the Chiefs win this weekend now? I mean, whose dynasty is more impressive, mine or theirs?
It's at least a conversation, and that's what's important. Mike,
that'll be one of our podcasts. That's right.
MC, how do you say this name? MC Helaine.
Mickle Hain
002. 190.78 points last week, brought home our top spot. In case you guys were wondering, We have a free weekly contest still open for this Super Bowl with unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. So definitely go out there. It is a showdown captain lineup this week. And with that being said, Mike, let's get right into it because this quarterback spot, first off, for everybody that doesn't know, in case you didn't play showdown, in case you played the regular lineup, can you just give me a quick rundown of what the showdown captain lineup is and how it's different from the standard DFS league?
Yeah, so you pick, instead of a full lineup like we normally do, you pick a captain and you pick five flex positions. Kickers and defenses are eligible as well for this. Now, in the captain spot, you will pay basically time and a half. You'll pay, you know, 50% a higher salary if you choose to put that player in the captain slot, but you'll also get a 50% increase on their points, right? So an example would be, let's say Patrick Mahomes, his price is 12,000 this week, but if you put him in the captain spot, he's 18,000. And similarly, like I just said, if he scores 20 fantasy points, but he's in your captain spot, you will get 30. And you can only use a player in one, either spot. You can't use a Mahomes as a captain and a flex. You have to pick one or the other. So it's a unique strategy. You could read more about it, of course, on the site and get the rules as you set your lineup. But, you know, it's pretty straightforward once you get set up and rolling.
Sure. Al, real quick question before we talk about quarterbacks with this captain lineup. Obviously, that captain spot is something that you're planning on the most points being scored from your lineup. Is that just a de facto quarterback that you slot in there? Is that best value or is there a strategy around that? That 1.5 points and salary that we want to specifically target?
Okay, so I could talk for hours about this, and I have, but I'm going to keep it real short for this podcast. Very simply, when I'm playing tournaments, I want to reserve. I play a smaller allocation of players in my captain slot or just, you know, I'm just not going to put anybody in the captain spot. I want the players that I think can end the game with the most fantasy points in, you know, just on raw projection or whatever, in my fantasy spot, so, or in my captain spot. So that's usually going to mean, and based on ceiling, not just based on their median projection. So the guys that you think have the possibility to, quote, break the slate. So wide receivers, running backs are the most likely that I'm going to put in there. A unicorn tight end like Travis Kelce is certainly going to be in that position for me, and the quarterbacks. But quarterbacks win in the captain spot way less often than a running back or a wide receiver. Just north of 70% of all showdowns ever on DraftKings have been won with a running back or a wide receiver in captain. Now, cash games is different because you're working off median projection. If you're playing tournaments, you want to go off ceiling projection. So we've seen guys like Tyreek Hill have 60-point fantasy days. Devontae Adams, same sort of a deal. Quarterbacks don't ever get to that point. So you want guys that have multiple touchdown possibility. I'm not going to use a value player in the captain spot. There's been like one time this year that that's happened. It was like Richie James when he was like 200. So as pretty as your lineup can look with a value captain, it's just not the highest equity you can get out of that lineup. I'm also not going to put a kicker or a defense in the captain spot. Yes, it can happen that a kicker or defense will win the big tournament, the $5.5 million tournament on DraftKings this weekend, but it's highly unlikely. It's like a 2% chance that that's the way that things go. Or if a defense has like two touchdowns and like 30 fantasy points. That's the only way that that defense is going to be the winning pick in the captain spot.
Okay, then let's get right into it with quarterback Mike Clay. Tom Brady, $10,000 for his salary. Obviously, if you play him in the captain slot, like we had talked about, he would actually cost $15,000. Tell me what you like about Brady this week going up against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I do like him, and we'll keep these tighter than usual just so we can run through the players. You know a lot about them already, but, you know, the Buccaneers – I like them in this game. In fact, I think they're going to win the game. I have them winning this one 30-27. The last time the Bucs offense didn't score at least three touchdowns, week 9 against the Saints. They've scored 3+ in 10 straight games. That includes the game against the Chiefs back in week 12. Brady's thrown 2 or more touchdowns in 10 in all 10 of those games. And also the 300-yard passing bonus in 8 of his past 16. Again, that also includes that game against the Chiefs. And by the way, the Chiefs have allowed 29 passing touchdowns in the regular season this year. That's 11th most. Also 7 rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks. That's 3rd most. So overall, quarterbacks have scored a lot against them. Brady, I think, is a fine value and a good captain option.
Okay. Love that. Patrick Mahomes, $12,000 on the opposite side. Al, I mean, any worry about Patrick Mahomes and this tough Tampa offense when you're looking at whether you want to put him in a We've already talked about not having him specifically in a captain slot, but is there enough value here, 10,000 and 12,000, to be able to put both quarterbacks into your lineup to try to maximize your lineup here?
Yeah, and I would think that most lineups are going to have two quarterbacks in them if you look at that large tournament, right? So, like, how many people are in that one? There's going to be you and 653,593 of your closest friends are going to have lineups in that Millionaire Maker this weekend in the Super Bowl showdown. And I would say that that will be the highest combination of a two-player combo would be Mahomes and Brady in the same line, because they have the highest raw projection, and Mahomes would have a higher ceiling than Brady, but like Brady can get you 25 to 30 points. Mahomes 30 to 40 points as a ceiling. They're just good players, and showdown is very much about correlation. So if you have one of those quarterbacks as your captain, make sure you have at least two of their pass catchers, because if they're going to have a 30 plus point game, that means like 3, 4, 5 touchdowns and 300 plus yards. Those things have to go somewhere. So play their pass catchers if you're going to play them in captain.
Yeah. Okay. That makes it. Makes a ton of sense. Let's talk about some running backs here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, $7,000. Darrell Williams, $5,200. Mike, talk about these Kansas City running backs and how they could stack up against what is a really tough Tampa Bay defense.
Yeah, so remember, Edwards-Helaire was back last week, right? So we saw some action. And in that game, now, Williams had 13 carries. Edwards-Helaire had 6. The targets, there wasn't really much work there. 2 targets for Edwards-Helaire, 1 for Williams. And the rookie had ran 21 pass routes to 13 for Williams. He actually played more snaps too, believe it or not, despite that disparity in carries with Williams more than doubling him. Edwards-Helaire played 32 snaps, 29 for Darrell Williams. And that was Edwards-Helaire's first game back, guys. So perhaps he takes on an even larger role. And I think that's important because the rookie's price is 7K. Darrell Williams is 5,200. You might look at taking the discount there. But again, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see 60 to 70% of the snaps go to their, you know, their prized first round rookie who's healthy and was the clear feature back earlier this season. So that's something to keep in mind. Also, remember, if you're going to pick a Chiefs running back, keep in mind the defense they're facing, the Chiefs during the regular season, fewest carries to running backs, fewest rushing yards, the lowest yards per carry. They did, though, allow the most receptions to running backs. So that's kind of how teams attack them. They don't really run between the tackles. They throw to the running backs. And Edwards-Helaire, as mentioned last week in his first game back, was more involved in the passing game.
That's been consistent for like a year or two, that they've been a team that doesn't let you run the ball. They force you to pass. And running backs that can catch passes do very well on DraftKings against the Buccaneers, or at least better because they are getting targeted more.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, a reason to like Mahomes even more, right? Because they're going to throw it a lot. I mean, he attempted 49 passes in Week 12 against the Bucs. He attempted 42 in the Super Bowl last year. They're already the second pass-heaviest offense in the NFL, and teams come out with a plan to throw the ball against Tampa Bay. So, you know, Mahomes, I almost wonder if he's worth the captain cost because he's averaging only 22 fantasy points his past 6 games. Mm-hmm. He's had duds, if you will. I put duds in quotes, you know. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's terrific, but he had kind of games that are underwhelming from a fantasy standpoint against the Falcons, Dolphins, Denver. He hit really Cleveland as well in the playoffs. He had a rushing touchdown that kind of bailed him out, but you wonder about that. But at the same time, this is a guy that could throw 50 plus passes in this game because of the high stakes, the defense they're facing, Andy Reid's philosophy. There's a lot of reasons to think that he could be worth that price tag.
Can I just say, and this is just me looking, I know that CEH has been banged up throughout the season. There's been obviously been a number of games where he's missed and or missed time. But I don't have a ton of confidence in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When I look at what he's done, even when he's had that like full work share, he's only hit 100 yards total from scrimmage 3 times this year. He's not a guy that like recently has been active in the passing game. Although we saw earlier in the season getting 5 or 6 catches a game, like that totally trailed off. So I want so badly for CEH to be a guy that kind of comes out here because not that he hasn't been around, like you said, Mike, he obviously came back, scored a touchdown last week, was active and involved in that game, but he makes me nervous because I don't really know who Clyde Edwards-Helaire is. I saw the rookie at the beginning of the year with all sorts of usage. And then based on injuries and some time off, I feel like he's, you know, I'm just not as thrilled from that perspective when I look back at everything. But please, I know you just laid out the reason why, but his game log doesn't inspire a ton of confidence in me.
Right. I hear you. And if you fire him up, you're probably banking on 7 carries for 28 yards or 25 yards, something like that. Not much on the ground. Again, they're not going to run against this Bucs defense successfully, most likely, especially with Vita Vea back. He looked good in his return last week, 2 weeks ago, and we expect his snaps to only be up in the Super Bowl. But what you're really banking on then is, you know, 8 targets, maybe, yep. 7 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown, really 2 touchdowns. We're all kind of angling toward the tournament setting here. It's going to be hard for him to hit a high ceiling. And if he does, you're really just going to have to hope he just plunges one in from the goal line on a run and catches a touchdown or two. And as like one of them James White, random huge games, that's really what you're hoping for if you use him.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Al, let's talk about the Bucs running backs, because Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, boy, oh boy, we've been going back and forth all year long as to which one of them is the feature back. And Leonard Fournette seems to have really taken hold of that job during this offseason. $7,800 for Leonard Fournette, only $2,200 for Ronald Jones. Given what Fournette has done in recent weeks and he's sort of taken over this role, feels like he's you've got to find a way to get him into your lineup here. But Ronald Jones at $2,200, if he breaks a big one, is so cheap. So break down this Bucs running back situation for me.
Well, you just kind of nailed it, right?
Well, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to take all your analysis from you. I'm just so good at what I do, Al. I'm sorry. I don't know.
You're just a natural. You can't even help yourself. It's just, I can't deny it. It's just science. Fournette gets all the work in the past. And I mean all the work in the passing game. Which is something that he could not do as of 2 seasons ago. And then last year for Jacksonville, he got a lot of work in the passing game. And then Tom Brady wants it, so Tom Brady makes it so. And he apparently just does not feel comfortable. I'm not going to say he doesn't like him, because I don't know their relationship and I don't want to be mean. But he doesn't like him. Wants Fournette behind him, especially in the past. You look at Ronald Jones's usage in the pass game, targets during the playoffs, it's non-existent. Multiple games, like 0 targets. So like on DraftKings with full PPR, that's not what we want. And then you look at Leonard Fournette, 7 targets against Green Bay, 6 targets against New Orleans, 4 targets against Washington. And if I take a look at this handy dandy box score projection from one Michael Clay, available for ESPN Plus subscribers, you can take a look at the touchdown equity, let's say, right? So like you have Leonard Fournette with 0.2 touchdowns in this game and Ronald Jones with half that, right? So in showdown, touchdowns are king when it comes to tournaments. Cash games, you want volume. Tournaments, yes, you also want volume. You really want to stack up as much touchdown equity as you can, because every point matters, and you'll get a touchdown from one of your players and you'll jump up like 40,000 spots in the standings. Like the swings in showdown are tremendous. So I want to stack as much touchdown equity as I can with the volume, and Fournette's the way to go. But as you said, Daniel, Ronald Jones has broken long touchdowns this year.
Oh, yes.
I don't think he's going to get more than 10 touches in this game, unless the Buccaneers are, you know, something has happened and the oblong Buccaneers are winning by like 10 or 14 points. Then I could see Ronald Jones getting like, you know, 12, 13 touches in this game. But other than that, that big playability and that game script that if you want to build a lineup around, I think the Bucs are going to win this one and shock the world by double-digit points, then I kind of would rather have a pass catcher in that price range, which we'll get to in just a bit.
Wow. Yeah, I'm with you. And you look at the snaps the past 2 games, 48-20 and 41-18, both in favor of Fournette. I mean, it's not even close, but even though it's 13-1 in targets in favor of Fournette, to your point, it's 29-23 in carries, right? It's been pretty even. So there is a scenario here where Jones pushes into that 10-11 carry range and maybe gets a goal line carry or a long play and scores a couple touchdowns. So at 2,200 compared to 7,800 for Fournette, there's potential value there at that price. But, you know, Jones may be the dark throw play. Fournette, certainly the high floor, 12 plus carries, 4 plus catches, and exactly 1 touchdown in 3 straight games. And also the Chiefs only allowed 7 rushing touchdowns this season. That was second fewest. They are much like, the Buccaneers on the other side, they allow a lot though in the passing game. So who does that benefit? Again, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. Is there a chance, let me ask you guys, understanding the price point of both of these running backs, you're basically looking at $10,000 for both of them. Is there any chance where you look at this and you say, boy, maybe I could play both of these? Because you're going to get to a point when you're making the showdown lineup where the last guy or two is just who's available at what money, and I think how much work could they potentially get? So is Ronald Jones, if you're looking to punt and you still have that money left over, like, can you play both of these running backs from the same team? Or is that too ground focused?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. And I think, again, if you look, what's the number, Al? 650,000 people plus are going to be in that, yeah, that tournament. I mean, you have to separate yourself. If you just put a cash lineup together, you're going to lose because everyone else is going to have the same lineup. Mm-hmm. You have to do something different. So is there a scenario where Jones has two touchdowns on 12 touches and one of those is a big play and Leonard Fournette maybe doesn't score a rushing touchdown, but gets his 10 to 12 carries and also catches seven passes and catches a touchdown and the game is lower scoring than expected overall. And you just hit the lottery by playing both guys. I mean, at that price point, it's not going to kill you. You're still going to get other stars in there, and that could pay off in a big way. So, again, I think, Al, and maybe you disagree, I think that's one way you could be different that actually could add up.
I mean, I'm trying to build lineups around a core three or a core four, right? So, like, let's say Mahomes, Kelsey, and then Tom Brady, right? So that would be my core three. That three is going to have a really high percent as a combination, right? With like Brady and Kelsey being probably over 50% and Mahomes being probably over 70%. So the combination of those three players are going to be in a lot of lineups together. So as you said, the combination of Fournette and Jones, I think both will be over 25% played in that tournament because of A, price point, B, volume, whatever else, and touchdown expectation. That combination in flex is going to be very popular, but the combination with one of them in captain, preferably Fournette, and then Jones in flex will probably be less played. And again, that's around a script where you have to tell yourself a story of how you're building that lineup. So if you're putting both of them in there, you're projecting at least two touchdowns for that, for those two guys. You're also projecting that the Bucs should be playing from ahead because you're saying that they're going to get extra volume or bust a big play, which would mean that you're probably going to want to correlate that with pass catchers on Kansas City coming back the other direction. And that combination, any combination with the Bucs running away from the game or running away from the Chiefs in this game, is going to be a little bit more contrarian than most of the fantasy points going to Chiefs players.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of strategies still to get into as we talk about wide receivers and tight ends. But first, the 55th Super Bowl is this weekend. 55 and a big game this big deserves a big prize, not just some trophy out there, all right? And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. How's that for big? All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. So download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. So download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code FOCUS to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use the promo code FOCUS right now and enter free $55 million Super Bowl challenge only at DraftKings, the official fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms and conditions apply. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Daniel, you know, you've been planning all of these off-season podcasts for us, and I have to imagine that you're a little stressed.
I've been working with you and Al for a whole year, so I am above my eyeballs.
Right, and tired too?
Oh, so tired.
So there's no way you feel like cooking?
Definitely not.
All right, well, how about foods that – did you know that food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food?
What?
Yeah, Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. There's no cooking required. You can get back to that podcast planning. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Why am I reading this right before lunch? This
That's is not so good. Now I'm Sounds hungry. Great.
Can't focus the rest of the show. Anyway, Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Wow. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life freshly. I laugh because I definitely do that. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/fantasy. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/fantasy for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/fantasy for $40 off your first two orders.
All right, let's talk about some wide receivers. You guys couldn't see it here, but Al was definitely like going along with us with these live reads in spirit. Al, I appreciate the interpretive dance that you did while Mike was doing the Freshly one. Wide receiver, let's just start right at the top. Tyreek Hill, $10,400, at least 10 targets in consecutive games and in seven of his past nine. Mike, I'm just curious, you know, Tyreek Hill feels, again, we talked about this at the top, when you were looking for that showdown lineup, when you were looking for that massive big payday, a guy like Tyreek Hill who could put up 30 or 40 points feels like, you know, how do I not find a way to get him into my showdown captain spot? But that price tag is really high if you decide to do it. So break it down for me here.
Well, I think he paid it off in the first game against the Buccaneers.
Yes.
In the first quarter, 13 catches, 269 yards, and three touchdowns in that game. Now, they did try to shadow him with Carlton Davis. It didn't work. They ditched that idea around halftime. They're not going to do that again. And certainly the fortunes changed for the Bucs in the second half as they slowed Hill a little bit, and they were able to come back in that game. They only lost by three. So they'll find a new way to try to slow him, but it's still Tyreek Hill. To your point, the volume's been there, 10-plus targets, and 20-plus fantasy points in this past 10 and over 109 yards in both playoff games so far. There's not much else to say. We know that Tyreek Hill has explosive upside. If you could find a way to work him in, go for it.
Sure. Let's talk about the rest of these Chiefs wide receivers, Al, because you got Sammy Watkins at $4,200, Mecole Hardman at $5,600, DeMarcus Robinson at $1,400. Plus you've got the likes of Byron Pringle and a couple other guys that are always floating there near the bottom. So I'm curious, of these secondary Chiefs pass catchers, does one of them stand out to you both on value and on potential production from this game?
Okay. So on value, it's DeMarcus Robinson, right? But we're in a holding pattern. We got to wait and see if he is going to pass the COVID test, because, you know, you don't want to put a guy, and you just pay attention to news, because you don't want to have a guy in your lineup that's not playing and then you take a haircut on all of your entries. That would be a bad idea. So Mecole Hardman would probably be my favorite one to pay up for, with Sammy Watkins being my least favorite one to pay for, but he'll also be the lowest played in tournaments this week. So if you're trying to get contrarian and you want to, you know, cover your eyes and hold your nose and plug Sammy Watkins into a fantasy lineup, he has that one big game a year. I don't think he's had it so far this year, so maybe it'll come in the Super Bowl.
Maybe.
Yeah. I just want to jump in here. You know, people are going to look at these guys, and I'm guilty of this too, and say, you know, they could have an explosive, huge game at any given point. I'm going to throw them in my captain spot or something like that, or count on in my lineup. It hasn't really been there, right? Especially lately, they have focused on Hill and Kelsey.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Watkins' five games from weeks 12 to 16, guys, he had 199 yards and no touchdowns. He was had 10 or fewer points in all five games. Otherwise, he's been injured around those games. So that was that sample. Mecole Hardman only played 22 snaps last week with, or 2 weeks ago, I keep saying last week, that the championship game. And that was with Sammy Watkins out. He's been under 11.5 fantasy points in 10 straight games. I keep hearing people talk about the chance for a long run. It's there. He had a 50-yard run last week, but he has 85 rushing yards this entire season. So that was 50 of the 85. That hasn't been there. And then Robinson, you know, he's been running ahead of Mecole Hardman almost the whole season. He's been over 12 fantasy points once this season, and that was 16 points. So I just don't know if the upside is high as maybe people think. But again, to your point, Al, I mean, Robinson's 1,400. You know, if he catches one touchdown, it pays off. But just something to think about if you're trying to win a tournament this week is I'm not sure you're going to get 20 points out of any of these guys.
It's if just, DeMarcus Robinson gets you 7.5 points, you're welcome to Value Town population. You,
yeah,
like 1400. You don't need, if he catches like three passes for 35 yards, right, and gets you 6.5 with no touchdowns, he's not. You're not playing DeMarcus Robinson because, like, I think DeMarcus Robinson's going to have a huge game. As you said, Mike, these guys are all pretty similar. Yes, they could all catch a touchdown. You actually have them all with the same touchdown.
Uh-oh.
None of them are going to get massive volume in the passing game, right? And the possibility that maybe Mecole Hardman has that the best big playability of all of them, but on very limited snaps, sure. But, like, Watkins is 4,200. Hardman's 5,600. As you said, you kind of need the possibility of double-digit points from those guys. I don't need that for 1,400. He's a pure punt play,
right?
And
right.
Anything that I get out of him, if he does happen to oops a touchdown in this game, it's like, you know, you see Mahomes drop back and he throws it to the end zone. It's like, oh my God, it's DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah. If you have DeMarcus Robinson, there's a value. You have just smashed that lineup because now you can rely on those studs that you save money to pay up for.
Smash plays is what it's all about. That's what it is. All right, let's look ahead to Bucs wide receivers because there's so many of them here to talk about. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Scotty Miller. So let's start at the top with both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin first. Mike, when you're looking at both of these guys, $8,400 for Mike Evans, $8,800 for Chris Godwin, how are you differentiating between the two as far as who you want in your lineup this week? Because they're real close.
Yeah, I kind of want to fade the Bucs wide receivers. I think that's a spot where people are going to be on them, of course. Why wouldn't you? It's Evans, it's Godwin, it's possibly Antonio, or probably Antonio Brown. I get it. But this is the Chiefs' strength, right? Their strength on the defensive side of the ball is shutting down wide receivers, fewest receptions, second fewest targets and receiving yards to wide receivers during the regular season. Also, the second lowest catch rate and seventh lowest yards per target. They've really dominated that position for two seasons now. It's just the way that scheme runs. Even if you look back to the Week 12 meeting, you know, this is where it kind of gets tricky, right? Because Evans had two touchdowns in that game. He had nine targets. That's good. But he only caught three of the nine targets, right? So the efficiency wasn't really good, though. He did score the touchdowns. Chris Godwin had a solid game there as well. The targets were higher than expected. But, you know, Evans, he scores almost every game. That's that 12 of 19 games. He has the touchdowns. He's 8,400. It's costly. There's a lot of things to balance here. But if I can build out my lineup and I want to pick a spot to fade and be different than everybody else, that's probably where I go. And also Chris Godwin, keep this in mind. His volume has been pretty good the past couple of months. He has 7+ targets in 5 straight games, but he hasn't had more than 5 catches in a game since week 12. So keep that in mind. I mean, it's PPR scoring, obviously. That bothers me a little bit too. He's also only hit the 100-yard bonus twice this season, though both of those did come pretty recently. He's also had some drop issues. So just a couple nuggets to keep in mind as you kind of balance between these two people. I think they'll be popular, but I think that it's a spot you can get away with fading and be different, and maybe it pays off.
So from that standpoint, Al, like, let's say we're looking at both Evans and Godwin, you could definitely save almost $2,000, actually more than $2,000, by deciding that you're going to punt on both of those guys and move down to either AB or potentially Scotty Miller. And I'm curious, understanding Antonio Brown is dealing with some injury stuff here. We think that he'll likely be ready for this game. It kind of feels that way, at least to me. But I'm curious if you like any of these other two Bucs wide receivers in Antonio Brown or Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller, only $3,400.
Yes.
Seems like only if you only play him if Antonio Brown is out, though.
I think you play him if Antonio Brown is there. Like, if he's a last man into your lineup and you have $3,500 or less to play.
Sure. Okay.
But he's that same if-then statement as he was in the NFC Championship game, where if Antonio Brown is out, then Scotty Miller averages like 8 or 9 more fantasy points per game for the Buccaneers in 2020 when, and this is still, even though it's 2021, it's still 2020 in the football sense, right?
Accurate.
Thank you. So I know somebody's going to, you know, it's 2021.
Yeah, someone is not 2020 anymore. Stupid idiot.
So Scotty Miller in that situation, if Antonio, and he was a limited participant in Wednesday's practice. We don't have a report from Thursday yet, but If Antonio Brown is out, then Scotty Miller becomes probably my favorite value play on the board more than DeMarcus Robinson. There you go.
Okay.
How about
not to get all Jeff Goldberg on you, but you know, well, there you go.
Even you so go. You're saying more than DeMarcus Robinson, Mike. I'm curious if you're looking at it, let's say you've got $3,500 left over. If Antonio Brown is playing, seems like DeMarcus Robinson would be your punt, not Scotty Miller. If Antonio Brown is out, feels like Scotty Miller would be your punt, not DeMarcus Robinson. So is that close-ish?
Yeah, well, I think that's a fair assessment. I think you could go to Tyler Johnson as well, who's 1,200. Mm-hmm. So he's actually closer priced to DeMarcus Robinson. And check this out. So again, if you look back to the Packers game when Brown was out, Scotty Miller played 28 snaps into three targets. Tyler Johnson was right behind him, 17 snaps, two targets, right? Mm-hmm. So people will pivot to Scotty Miller. He will be on a lot more rosters than Tyler Johnson. You can go the Johnson route and be different, and maybe he catches, you know, as a, all it takes is, again, at that price point, maybe he gets three targets and one of them is a 52-yard touchdown, and it paid off in a big way. It's same assessment that Al gave you earlier on DeMarcus Robinson.
Okay, let's talk about some tight ends here to wrap it up real quick. We'll get to kickers in defense, but that'll be a little, just a faster segment. So Travis Kelce, $1,100. It's tough because when you're trying to fit so many players into this price point, $1,100 for Travis Kelce, although he's basically a wide receiver, still feels like a lot. However, man, those 100-yard games, he's always targeted. Mike, I'm curious, are you in on Travis Kelce this week, or is the value not what you're thinking it should be?
Well, if he was 1,100, the value
Sorry,
would be there.
11,000. I apologize. $11,000. Remember when I said I was just
look,
so good
I'm
at my job
I'm
earlier?
Here for you. I didn't want you to get trashed by the public either.
Thank
so
you.
I wanted to help you out there. But look, here, I have a couple quick nuggets for you. It is what it is. 8+ targets in 10 straight games, 10 plus in all but one of those games, 7+ catches in all 10 games, 100-yard bonus in 7 of the 10, a touchdown in 8 of the 10, 23+ fantasy points in 9 of the 10. The only exception game, guys, though, was the Buccaneers game. Eight catches, 82 yards, no touchdowns on 8 targets. So he caught them all, but the volume just wasn't where
eight
it was.
8 for 82? Is that what you said?
8 for 82. That's a bad game over
16.
The past three months for Travis Kelce.
They also were up like 75 points at the end of the first quarter all through the air to Tyreek Hill. So like,
sure.
Like some stuff is game scale. Like I agree with you, but I don't know that was the game where the defense stopped Travis Kelce as much as it was the game flow, the way things went limited Travis
Kelce.
Maybe,
but Mahomes attempted 49 passes, completed 37 in that game. Mm-hmm. Now I know Tyreek Hill had the huge game with the 15 targets, but Watkins had 7 targets and Robinson had 6 and Hardman had 5. They were just behind Kelce. So I don't know.
Nothing away from the Bucs defense. They're a tremendous defense. Yeah. They were the best defense in the final four of the NFL. The only one that was in the top 10. And they were in the top 5 in terms of defensive DVOA. All of their tremendous defense, taking nothing away from them.
Yep. I'm with you. Look, he's, hot take, Travis Kelce, fun to play in fantasy this week.
Fun to play.
Good at football.
Yes.
May pay off in a big way. Yes.
All right. So if you're in on Chiefs wide receivers or pass catchers, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are obviously the top two there. But looking at the Bucs, when I look at this tight end situation, I have no stinking clue what it is that I want to do here. Cameron Brate, $4,800. Rob Gronkowski, $3,000. I can make all the narrative arguments in my head as to why Tom Brady is going to throw to Rob Gronkowski and they are going to win a Super Bowl together on a different team. And Gronk's going to have this massive flashback to Patriot style Gronk. Like I can paint it in my head. I see it so clearly, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate on the field because what we've seen from Gronk lately just has not been that narrative. So Al, I'm curious, Gronk cheaper than his counterpart Cameron Brate. Down this Bucs tight end situation for me.
I can't believe there's this much of a price discrepancy between the two. $4,800 to $3,000.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you can talk to how many routes and snaps and targets they've played, and it's been like we've been making the argument that it's been very, very close. That it hasn't been Gronk that's been the tight end one. They've been 1 and 1A. So I would have expected them when I was thinking about what the pricing would be for this Super Bowl showdown, that they would be very close and you'd have a coin flip sort of decision to make. But one is 1,800 more than the other. And that's like, I think that Brate's the better play, but I don't think he's an 1,800 better play. And all Gronk needs to do is catch one touchdown, and Gronk does have big playability for a tight end. He, you know, 20 yard to 35 yard catches are definitely in his wheelhouse and in his playbook. And he gets a lot of looks once they get closer to the goal line, inside the 10 targets, end zone targets as well, with Evans being the big dog there for the Buccaneers in terms of end zone targets. So yeah, there's touchdown equity in Gronk. I think that they're very similar in terms of Brait and Gronkowski at the price points. I prefer Rob Gronkowski. If they were the same price, I would prefer Brait. But as it is, we have to play with salary. As it is, probably going to have more Gronk than Brait.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll explain the price difference. I mean, Gronk is under, has been under three catches in five straight in nine of his past 11. He's averaging 2.5 targets per game during his past five games. So that explains that, compared to, of course, Cameron Brait, four targets in three straight is 50 plus yards and a touchdown in all three of those games. That's the discrepancy. So look, on one hand, I think it's unlikely, right, that Gronk has a big game. But to your point, yeah, he could just see an end zone target, catch a touchdown and pay off. But here's the thing, and this is why I think that the Buccaneers tight ends could be the key to winning the showdown mm-hmm. this week. And mm-hmm. here's why. I talked about it earlier, the Chiefs perimeter play, corner play against wide receivers, their ability to shut down perimeter wide receivers for two seasons now, is outstanding. They're really good at it, and it leads to teams throwing to the running back. I talked about that earlier, and it leads to teams throwing to the tight end a lot. Now, we've seen that a lot. They've allowed the six most fantasy points to tight ends during the regular season, top 10 in pretty much every category. And we saw it in week 12. That I just mentioned that stretch with Gronk, right? Under three catches in five straight, nine of his past 11 those games was against the Chiefs. He had seven targets in that game. Cameron Brait also had six. That's 13 targets for their tight ends, which is a big number, especially in a game where Brady only, quote unquote, only threw 41 passes. It's not like he threw 60, right? So I could see them, you know, Brady just taking what's there. Not, he can't get the ball to Evans. He can't get it to Brown. They're just covered by this scheme, and he has to rely heavily on Gronk. So, or Brait. So maybe out of nowhere, he does get to six or seven targets, and if you played him at 3K and he gets six or seven targets, it's going to pay off in a big way. So I think it's a viable strategy in a tournament, despite the fact that Gronk has been woeful lately in fantasy, to fire him up at this price point. And Brait too, if you want.
Sure.
I would go with one or the other, but not both.
I agree with that.
That's fair. Okay, let's quickly go rapid fire through kickers and defenses. Ryan Succop's $3,800. Harrison Butker, $4,000. The Bucks D is $2,800. Chiefs D is $2,600. I just want to throw this out there, guys, as a showdown captain lineup. I've got a number of guys that we've already talked about in this podcast that are cheaper than these prices that I feel like have more upside than any of these plays. So unless I'm going for a floor, in which case, like, the floor of a $4,000 player probably should be more than what I'm going to get out of Harrison Butker or Ryan Succop. I can't imagine playing a kicker or a defense here, because there's enough guys in that punt pile that just seemingly are a better option here. I just want to throw that out to both you. Al, I'll start with you, and then Mike, we can have you wrap it up.
Okay, so typically for my tournament lineups with Showdown, I limit to one of both kickers and defenses maximum in any lineup. As you said, I'm trying to capture as much ceiling as possible. And unless a kicker has like 5-6 field goals in a game and two of them are 50 yards, they're just not going to have that quote ceiling game of like 18-20 points for the price that they're at.
Sure.
Where a Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson could catch a 60 yard touchdown and just completely smash the kicker, but their floor is much higher and every point matters. So if you get an 8-point game out of a kicker, which is pretty much 8 to 9 points, is pretty much the average fantasy points per game for a kicker. If you lock that in and the other players in that price range, all of them only get like 2 to 4 points, you're ahead of the game there, but you're risking ceiling. You're sacrificing ceiling for assuring yourself 7 to 9 points.
Yep.
And happen to score a touchdown, completely unpredictable in any situation, same sort of a situation.
Yep, Mike? I agree. My only response to you, Daniel, would be everybody's thinking what you're thinking. They're boring, that you don't see a ceiling, you don't see production, but everybody's thinking that, and that's going to drive down how many rosters are on, and maybe that could be the difference for you in a tournament setting. So not as appealing in cash, certainly appealing if you're trying to win that million.
Sure. All right, we have reached that time of the podcast where we're going to give out our weekly lineups. Obviously, this is winner take all. So if I beat Mike this week, I'm actually the champion of the 2020 season. That's always been in the rule book. So Mike, if you win, then you just keep the championship that you already won. It's really, It's more convenient for me, unfortunately. But the rules were written before we started the podcast, so there's nothing we can do about it now. Nothing we can do about it now. We can adjust it for 2021, but can't adjust it midseason. So why don't you give us your Super Bowl head-to-head lineup coming up against me this week?
Yeah, and as we say often, Al pushes this all the time, is we're setting a tournament lineup here, right?
Yep. Yep.
So write a story, right? What's the story? I wrote a story here, and my story is the Buccaneers win this game, and Leonard Fournette has a big game. If him in the captain spot, I'm going to hope that he gets 12 to 15 carries, a couple touchdowns, catches 6 to 8 passes. He's going to be in my captain here. I also have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. So I'm going to hope that Brady throws a touchdown to Fournette and certainly maybe hits Gronk for one or two in this game. And I also have the Bucs defense, which is an area I'm going to separate myself. They fit in with my salary. I'm not going to spend the full 50K. I don't really want to do that if I don't have to. Maybe they get a couple, maybe they pick off Patrick Mahomes. Maybe they have a couple big plays, score a touchdown in this game. And then on the other side, we're still going to get production out of the Chiefs, right? Even if the Bucs win this game, Patrick Mahomes in here in a flex, as well as Tyreek Hill. He could still have 130 yards and a touchdown. Mahomes could still have a big game, and the Bucs could still win this. And again, I have a lot of firepower with the Bucs to be able to keep up with a guy like Mahomes and Hill. So that's the way I'm going.
Sure. All right. Like that lineup. My lineup is, as I enter it in here, because I haven't wanted to show it to Mike because he obviously copies me most weeks. I've got Tyreek Hill as my captain. I've got Patrick Mahomes, and right now, DeMarcus Robinson as the rest of my Chiefs that I am playing. Robinson, if he does not go this week, I have enough money left over to be able to swap him out for Byron Pringle or do a little bit less and do Tyler Johnson. So I've kind of got a secondary plan there if DeMarcus Robinson can't go. I've also running Tom Brady, Mike Evans, and my running back is actually going to be Rojo. I'm going to go with him at $2,200, the opposite of Leonard Fournette. The idea that because the Chiefs give up so much yards before first contact, Kansas City allowing 2.8 yards per carry before contact to running backs this season, that big play ability, that's what I'm shooting for here with Ronald Jones, and I'm able to fit everybody in. So for me to get a pass catcher and a quarterback that I like from both teams in Hill and Evans, as well as both running backs, I'm definitely punting on two different players here. But I think those two players have some upside that I can see doing something for me in this format. So that is my lineup for the Super Bowl. And Mike, Al Zeidenfeld. Now, I mean, we're on an even playing field here. Now you're setting the same lineup as us. So we're going to see how we are against the big boys now. All right, Al, let's see what your weekly tournament lineup is.
All right, so I'm going to fly right in the face of that Tampa Bay defense. I'm going with Travis Kelce. Yes. In my captain spot here, I'm going to correlate him with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, any lineup that has a pass catcher at captain, you should lock their quarterback along with them. If they have a big game, probably the quarterback does as well. Going with DeMarcus Robinson as a value on the Chiefs, and then looking over at the Buccaneers side, I'm going to have $3 in this lineup. I'm going to go with Tom Brady. He's good at Super Bowls. Uncle Lenny, Leonard Fournette's going to be in that lineup with him, and I needed to find another punt play. I'm going with Tyler Johnson because he fits, has some upside, touchdown equity. That's where I'm going to end up. I need to get a lot out of my stars, and I need to get something out of my punts.
Love it.
Got it.
Love it. Love guys, that is it for us. Again, join our weekly contest. Last one this week. This is it. This is the end of this season. Unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. And do not forget, we will be back after this week. This cast is going to keep changing as we do the off-season focus podcast, but we're going to have a bunch of a carousel of talent to be able to come through to deliver you guys weekly content. So stay with us, stay safe, have an awesome time watching the Super Bowl. Please be safe. Please be safe watching the Super Bowl with whatever it is that you guys do. We love you guys. We can't wait to talk to you again. We will see you in a week. And DFS, we will come back later this offseason. We will put out a big tweet and make sure you guys know about it when we do a DFS for Dummies breakdown to be able, if you're wanting to dip your toe into the DFS water, we're going to make sure that we have a little bit of that for you this offseason as well. So for Mike and Al, my name is Daniel. Don't forget to love each other. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
See you in the 06010.